Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. As of January 4th, 2021, the Secret Service knew of direct and dire and time-specific threats against Speaker Pelosi and indirect threats against then-President-elect Biden, but did nothing about them and notified no one, not the Speaker, not Biden, not anyone else, until 2 days later, late on the afternoon of January 6th, 2021, after the attempted coup was quelled. Thus, we are greeted today with another simple question and another simply terrifying one. Yesterday, the simple and simply terrifying question was, has the Office of the Inspector General at Homeland Security become politically corrupted and become nothing less than a threat to the nation and a cell loyal to Trump? Today, the simple and simply terrifying question is, has the Secret Service become politically corrupted and become nothing less than a threat to the nation and a cell loyal to Trump? Crew, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, has two jaw-dropping new reports now. It has obtained emails, including an email from the Secret Service, confirming that the Secret Service had discovered an account on the right-wing app Parler posting a series of violent threats against lawmakers, specifically against Nancy Pelosi. As early as December 31st, 2020, the post on the Parler app made a direct, lethal threat against Nancy Pelosi. It added it would be carried out on January 6th. Accounts with the same name appeared on Twitter, MeWe, BitChute, YouTube, and Facebook, and much of the violent language was repeated on those platforms, too. Among the, believe it or not, less explicit, less threatening messages from this account, January 2nd, quote, Biden will die shortly after being elected. Patriots are going to tear his head off. Prison is his best case scenario, unquote. The paper trail of the emails shows the Secret Service had all this and did nothing with it until 5:55 p.m. Eastern Time on January 6th, when finally it sent the parlor post threatening Pelosi to the United States Capitol Police. After nightfall during the coup, quoting this impossibly stupid email, "Good afternoon. The U.S. Secret Service is passing notification to the U.S. Capitol Police regarding discovery of a social media threat directed towards Speaker Nancy Pelosi," end quote. They held this until after the violent coup had failed and Capitol Police had already cleaned up the anarchic disaster inside the halls where the supposedly peaceful transfer of power was supposed to take place, and the Secret Service told nobody. The same parlor account that threatened Pelosi on the 4th also gave tips to the insurrectionists. "Keep MAGA gear hidden until after checking in to hotels," read one. "We're all on a mission to save America. Lone wolf attacks are the way to go. Stay anonymous, stay alive. Guns up, patriots," end quote. These are not vague rumors or reports or thoughts about Secret Service inactivity after it was aware of vague threats about vague actions on January 6th. This is hard and fast evidence, and there are only two options: extraordinary stupidity and incompetence at all levels of the Secret Service, or collaboration with the coup by elements in the Secret Service. And unfortunately, the emails and the other communications obtained by crew that proved Secret Service inaction about the threat against the Speaker of the House did not end there. The National Capital Region Threat Intelligence Consortium, the NTIC, held a conference call on the morning of January 4th and warned every agency you could think of and repeated those warnings in emails. The FBI, the Capitol Police, the D.C. Metropolitan Police, the Secret Service. All that happened on January 6th wasn't just known to these supposed protectors of the leaders of government. It was in writing, and it was all documented. The NTIC warned on the 4th of, quote, "online communications citing violence in D.C. on 1-6-21, occupying the Capitol to influence lawmakers to change election results, call to come with guns, to be prepared to battle, to exercise Second Amendment rights," end goddamned quote. The NTIC told the Secret Service that the Oath Keepers would be there on the 6th. And the Three Percenters, and the neo-Nazi group Stormfront, and the neo-Nazi group Atomwaffen. The U.S. Marshals Service warned the Secret Service about yet another account on Parler threatening violence against then-Vice President Pence and calling for the violent removal of other politicians and sketching the insurrectionists' plans to bring firearms. One we now know Donald Trump tried to help, demanding that the gun-detecting magnetometers be turned off. The Secret Service did nothing. And you wonder why Mike Pence would not get in the vehicle with the Secret Service on January 6th. Well, there are your answers, and they are in writing. We already know that this Inspector General at Homeland Security, Joseph Kufari, and Homeland Security oversees the Secret Service. We already know that after Secret Service wiped all its January 6th texts, this plant, Kufari, blocked efforts to restore those texts or even to notify anyone that they had been erased. We know he is to this day insisting that he will not cooperate and his subordinates may not cooperate with the January 6th committee. We already know about the assistant director of training at the Secret Service, Tony Ornato. He was the agent who told Cassidy Hutchinson about Trump's fruitless attempts to try to choke a Secret Service staffer and to take the wheel of the presidential SUV so he could get to the Capitol in time to lead the goddamn coup in person. But this man Ornato's journey seems to define the extraordinary and imminent danger a politicized and corrupt Secret Service represents to President Biden and the nation. Ornato was a Secret Service agent one day and then the next. Trump had made him assistant to the president and deputy chief of staff. Suddenly, Ornato was no longer a Secret Service agent. He was in charge of the entire security and military support structure for the president and for full management of the White House and its surrounding complex. Ornato, personally loyal to Trump, just appointed by him, had 5,000 employees and a budget of at least $800 million. And he was with Trump on January 6th and with him on January 20th. And then you know what happened? He went right back to the Secret Service, where he still has oversight of all training and employee development. Secret Service one day, in charge of Trump's personal security network the next, and deputy chief of staff, as political position as there is in government, and then, as if none of that had ever happened, back to the Secret Service to train new agents protecting Joe Biden and other Democrats and other people who are in favor of democracy, protecting them right now. Trained by a Trump lackey. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington has stuck like glue to the continually unfolding story of the systemic corruption in the Secret Service, from the self-dealing that let Trump and Eric Trump and the Trump organization make a profit out of almost every out-of-town presidential trip. From that to this latest nightmare of the warning emails that the Secret Service either stupidly or guiltily ignored. And who is acting on what Crewe has uncovered? Who is acting on the evidence that there is a Trump cell within the Secret Service, mirroring the Trump cell within the Department of Homeland Security? Who in the Biden administration is investigating and weeding these people out? No one. Again, apparently, the mantra of letting the system correct itself, letting the nation heal, is being not just said without cynical laughter, but it is actually being relied upon. And it is madness. In America, there are just two groups right now, the people with the power to correct, alter, and restore those elements vital to the safety of the nation and the preservation of the democracy, and the other group, the people desiring to regain power by any means, legal or not, peaceful or not, constitutional or not. And that second group is planning and scheming and conspiring and leaving paper trails and doing all of it as we speak with impunity, while the first group, in charge of the United States government and a democracy that is hanging by tattered threads, the first group does nothing. Still ahead on Countdown, there is an amazing array of new polls. They are all good for the Democrats, including a generic congressional ballot. Dems ahead by four. It's great news as long as there are more elections. The sports news includes Tiger Woods and LeBron James because apparently it's 2007 again. What did I say the other day to Alex Wagner about the past problems she had with bothering to learn the teleprompter in the event of an emergency with the teleprompter? What happens 10 seconds into her first show? Did she learn the teleprompter? She did not learn the teleprompter. And Jared Kushner, silent on Twitter for 13 years, finally tweets how it was, quote, an honor to serve the American people. Wait a minute. Serve people. Where have I heard that before? That's next. This is Countdown.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Coming up, Eric Trump wants to rename it the Trump Party. A bunch of polls, all favorable for the Democrats. Jared Kushner, Nikki Haley, and Mehmet Oz vying for Worst Person's honors. And Friday, 14 years since, after a year of threatening my bosses to make them do it, they let me announce a new show to follow mine on MSNBC. Details ahead and things I promised not to tell. First, in each edition of Countdown, we feature a dog in need whom you can help. Every dog has its day. I try to make this national whenever possible, but boy, are we in crisis here at the New York Pound. Bluestone is there. He loves frisbees, stuffed toys, playing fetch, but he was adopted into a home that already had dogs. And when he did not completely adjust in just 2 days, these people dumped him back into the shelter. And he went right onto the kill list. Your pledges to help defray his rescue expenses by a rescue group could make the difference, or if you want to adopt Bluestone, all the better. To find out everything you need to know about Bluestone, check my tweet on him on my feed for Dogs in Need, Tom Jumbo Grumbo. Video, email addresses, links, everything you need. And you can also help him by just retweeting my biography of Bluestone. Spread the word. It's at Tom Jumbo Grumbo on Twitter. Thank you. Coming up here, I'm not saying Jared Kushner is a cannibal, but I am saying there's something really disturbing about his promotion of his new book, which is not titled, Yes, I'm a Cannibal. But first, postscripts to the news, some headlines, some thoughts, some snark. Dateline Florida, the hearing on releasing the affidavit behind the Mar-a-Lago search warrant, 1 p.m. Thursday. Now comes word Trump is considering publicly releasing the surveillance footage from inside Mar-a-Lago of the FBI agents executing the search warrant at Mar-a-Lago. But wait, on Monday, Trump told Fox News there was no surveillance footage of the FBI agents executing the search warrant at Mar-a-Lago. Quote, Trump said FBI agents told his team on the Mar-a-Lago premises to, quote, turn off the camera. Wait, are you saying Trump lied about that? Meantime, as usual, saying the wrong part out loud. We all know this is true, but Eric Trump is not supposed to acknowledge it. Asked about the Republican Party, he told Newsmax, the propaganda network, Wednesday night, quote, it's not even the Republican Party. I'd say it's actually the Trump Party. Way to go, moron number two. Dateline Atlanta, Rudy Giuliani testified to the Trump election fix grand jury for 6 hours. Lindsey Graham has now asked for a stay to postpone his testimony from next Tuesday to some later date. And the Georgia Governor Brian Kemp filed a 121-page motion to quash his subpoena to testify, or at least to get his testimony postponed until after the election. He claims it's all politics. Well, yeah, Christ, it is all politics. Trump tried to fix all politics. Dateline Pole City, Nebraska. Thank you, Nancy Faust. What's the score, boys? What did Bugs Bunny do? The polls, Unidos U.S., polling California Latino voters. They support Biden 60-34. Support a generic Democratic candidate 59-14, and 78% support abortion rights. Marquette Law School's poll on the Wisconsin Senate race, Ron Johnson, Republican from Moscow, 44, Democrat Mandela Barnes, 51. Barnes is up by 7. He just got the nomination. And Morning Consult Politico on the generic congressional ballot, Democrats 46, Republicans 42. And Dateline Jackson, Wyoming, Liz Cheney has still lost as she launches a unified effort called The Great Task to oppose Trump and a possible presidential run herself, presumably in the GOP primary, since she probably wouldn't do any damage other than to the Democrat if she ran for president on a third party. Trump replies by saying he assumes with her loss, the January 6th committee will begin the, quote, process of dissolution. He assumes that. Well, you know what they say, Don. Never assume, for when you assume, you make an ass of you are going to die in prison, Donald.
This is SportsCenter. Wait, check that. Not anymore. This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
From the world of wide sports, LeBron James agrees to a 2-year extension with the Lakers, $97,100,000 for 2 seasons. If the NBA salary cap goes up, it could be $111 million. LeBron also gets an option for a 3rd season in L.A., 2024-25, by which point he would be 40 years old. That feeling when your $44.5 million salary just isn't enough. Golf news. Let's go out to Bob Slurm. Keith, thank you. We're on 17, where the top players on the PGA Tour are meeting. There's Tiger Woods, still a handsome man at 85 years old, being carried around in a sedan chair by some of the younger players. And there's Wayne Gretzky. What's he doing here? He doesn't play golf. He flew here to Wilmington, that is, Tiger Woods did, Wilmington, Delaware, all the way from Florida to talk to his lesser golfers. Must have taken him nearly 3 hours. What a man, what a private pilot, what a golfer, what a driver. The players are talking about unity in the wake of the new Saudi Blood Money Tour. And, of course, they will make their annual plea to the PGA for longer putts. Keith?
Thanks, Bob. Great report. Pro Football Hall of Fame announced the 3 nominees in the senior category. Joe Klecko, lineman from the New York Jets sack exchange. The late Bengals quarterback Ken Riley, who when he retired in 1983, had the 4th most career interceptions in NFL history. And Chuck Howley, the great linebacker of the Dallas Cowboys, who should be in the Hall of Fame already solely for this fact. In Super Bowl V, after the 1970 season, Chuck Howley was named the MVP of the Super Bowl, even though he was a defensive player on the losing team. And baseball, Texas Rangers fire President John Daniels, so that's one less Cornell guy out there screwing up the world. Chris Young, the pitcher from Princeton, takes over. Boo. The Oakland A's have released infielder Elvis Andrus, 45 years and 1 day after the death of Elvis Presley. And 9 days after they moved him up from Double-A to Triple-A ball, the New York Mets promoted third base prospect Brett Beatty to the big time, and it is first major league at bat in Atlanta with his family in the stands. He hit a home run, first at bat. So congratulations to Mr. Beatty. Or, since he's only 22, congratulations to Master Beatty. Kind of got cut off there. Still ahead, things I promised not to tell, and the latest one includes Paul Harvey, Alex Wagner, Rachel Maddow, and the fact that Friday is the 14th anniversary of the day I announced Rachel was finally getting her own show. But mostly it's about Paul Harvey and his lifetime secret quest to erase the truth of how his 58-year career at ABC Radio only began because they fired the guy he was filling in for. First, the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. Our bronze, Nikki Haley, tweet Wednesday, quoting, "Biden has one job, to protect America, and he's failing. Already this FY, 66 terrorists were caught at the southern border." What part of 66 terrorists were caught confuses you, Nikki? That's called arresting 66 terrorists. This individual was the nation's ambassador to the United Nations. And it wasn't some sort of accident. It lasted more than 3 hours. She may be the dumbest person alive. I was at dinner once at the Atlantic Grill, just east of Broadway here in Manhattan, with my girlfriend at the time. And Nikki Haley was seated across the room from us, and off and on for 2 hours. I'd say like every 3, 4, 5 minutes, I would catch out of the corner of my eye Nikki Haley staring at me. And I would turn and look back at her, and then she'd put a menu in front of her face. Holy cow, what a dope. The silver, another day, another rake to step on for GOP Pennsylvania Senate candidate Draz. But of course, the genius here is Oz always brings his own rake. He finally got around to addressing the coup d'etat video that went viral Tuesday, but was actually made back in April. If somehow you don't know, this is the video in which he was at a Redner's supermarket, but he called it Wegner's, which is a combination of Redner's and Wegmans. He was asked about it on Newsmax propaganda and said, "I was exhausted. I've gotten my kids' names wrong as well." Wait, Oz, you called your kids Redner's and Wegmans? By the way, his opponent, John Fetterman, has already moved on to Oz's next gaffe, which was claiming he owns 2 houses when he actually owns 10 of them. Fetterman's already put out a video from a fictional game show called How Many Houses Do You Own? But our winner, Jared Kushner. Did you know Jared Kushner got a Twitter account in April 2009? But yesterday, Wednesday, was the first day he tweeted anything, his first tweets in year 13. The second of them was promoting his new book, which I believe is titled, I Am Damien from the Omen. Maybe not. But his first tweet bore a graphic that read in part, "It was the honor of my life to serve the American people." Serve the American people. Serve the people. Serve people. Serve people! Mr. Chambers, don't get on the ship, the rest of Jared Kushner's book, to serve the American people! It's a cookbook! Jared, come on, you've always known he's not from this planet, Kushner. Today's worst person in the world! Maybe universe.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Finally, our number one story on the countdown, and back to my favorite topic, me, and things I promised not to tell. This summer, on the subject of Rachel Maddow, I had heard only two types of comments. One, oh my God, how dare she? And two, oh my God, how dare you? Now there's a new number three. Oh my God, you did a piece about Alex Wagner's new 9 p.m. show the day it was going to premiere, and you talked about how you wanted to make her the guest host of Countdown, but she didn't want to take the trouble to learn how to use the teleprompter and how to recover if it failed. And then 10 seconds after her first 9 p.m. show on MSNBC started, the teleprompter failed, and she just stopped talking and threw her hands up in the air. That's the new part. My mom used to say, if you want to play jazz piano, first you got to learn the scales. I don't know why she said this. There was not one musical person on either side of the family. I think we had a Glockenspiel player in 1890. That's been about it. But there it is a good point here. You should assume the prompter will fail and you know the basic necessities to land safely without it. Make sure how to be on TV when all you have is the printed script in front of you. Would have told you that in 2010, Alex, but you had to leave the interview for the hosting job to go to a dinner party. Anyway, I have noted on Twitter and in this venue that for 2 years I negotiated with MSNBC to bring Countdown back there, and unfortunately, ultimately, the thing was killed off by the word of Rachel Maddow. At least that's what the president of NBC News told my rep. The response among those who remember has largely been about what a startling end this is to a story that began with MSNBC firing her, me bringing her back as a guest on my show, then hiring her out of my own pocket to keep her from going to CNN, then spending a year and all of my political capital agitating to get her her own show on MSNBC following my own. The response among those who don't remember is that I once did the news or something there and I have a lot of nerve besmirching her blessed name. It is a common thread in the careers of people in media that they come this close to thinking that the viewers or listeners or fans or whoever actually keep some sort of notebook at home in which they jot down all the career moves of their favorite announcers and TV people. Whenever Bill O'Reilly was criticized, whether for white supremacism or just bad pronunciation, right you are, Mr. Meyerhofer, his go-to response was to claim that the critic did not watch his show every night or know his history. You're not supposed to know his history. You're not supposed to know my history. I'm supposed to say, when you say you saw me on SportsCenter last week, when it's actually been like 2.5 years or maybe 20, I'm supposed to say, thank you. That's the whole deal. People do not keep notebooks at home with the start and end dates of all the jobs of their favorite or least favorite TV figures. You'd be surprised how many people on TV think you do keep those notebooks. And just consider the expense required for such notebooks that would be needed just to write down only all of my jobs. This allows for one of the most interesting phenomena of, I was going to say of television or politics, but in fact, it's one of the most interesting phenomena of life. To really flourish in media, the startling number of very, very successful people have changed their origin stories. For 2 years, I was the primary backup host for a radio news commentator named Paul Harvey. You are not required to know who he was, but in his time, there was him doing news and commentary on the radio, and then there was everybody else combined who combined had nearly all the influence that Paul Harvey had by himself. Paul Harvey appeared 6 days a week on the ABC radio network from 1951 through 2008. The years I backed him up, 2001 and 2002, my bosses at ABC told me that the net profit for his Paul Harvey News and Comment and the Rest of the Story series was $44 million a year on network radio. He split it with ABC, and ABC was damned happy with the split. Thank you, Paul, was the standard greeting. He was famous for those long pauses. The sign-offs were, "Paul Harvey, good day," or, "And now you know the rest of the story." But the rest of the story really was that Paul Harvey had what he believed was a terrible, dark, evil secret. No one could mention this, nor the name of the other person involved, nor the nature of the terrible thing that had happened, on fear of absolute banishment from the world of Paul Harvey. The ABC executive who told me this story would not even tell it to me inside ABC Radio News headquarters. We went and had coffee at a diner, and he kept looking around to make sure nobody else was there from the network. The story goes like this. In 1951, Paul Harvey was a young newscaster in Chicago. ABC Radio liked him, had helped him move to Chicago from his hometown of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it would periodically use him on the network as a backup host, just as I would be a backup host for him in 2001 and 2002. The guy that Paul Harvey backed up in the late 40s and early 50s was named H.R. Baukage, B-A-U-K-H-A-G-E. He called himself just Baukage on the air, and he was already a star news reporter in this country when they invented radio. He had covered World War I for several newspapers. He'd gone to work for ABC Radio's predecessor, the NBC Blue Network, in 1932. It was just a distinction to keep you clear that it wasn't the NBC Red Network. They didn't talk blue or anything, unfortunately. By 1951, Baukage was on ABC's TV news, and he did this daily 15-minute news roundup on ABC Radio. And then he went on vacation. So they asked that kid from Chicago, Paul Harvey, to fill in for Baukage. Baukage was 62, and it was sure great that he had covered World War I, but that was literally an entire world war before the one everybody was still talking about in 1951. ABC executives liked the young, brash, dramatic Paul Harvey, and so when Baukage came back, they fired him. They gave Paul Harvey Baukage's show. But you weren't allowed to know that. It's not on the web, except in a transcript of the obit I did when Paul Harvey died. It's not in his Wikipedia page, although here's another secret. Every couple of years, I put it in there just to see how quickly somebody else removes it. This was Paul Harvey's terrible, dark, evil secret. His big break was the guy he was filling in for got fired. I don't think, having studied this as best I could, that Paul Harvey got H.R. Baukage fired. Nor did my boss at ABC think that, but over 50 years, Paul Harvey began to believe not only that people would believe he got Baukage fired, but that someday God would avenge poor Baukage. And on that one day, Paul Harvey would get fired and be replaced by some guy who filled in for him while he was on vacation. Convinced they would fire him from a show that made $24 million a year and would be lucky to make $4 million a year with anybody else, even me. Thus, Paul Harvey never took all the vacation time ABC owed him, not even in year 58 of his tenure at the network. And he got up at 3:30 every morning to get to the studio, or 1:30 when he was broadcasting from his other home in Arizona, because he was convinced that ABC would someday balkage him. Thus, there were a lot of us who filled in for him, no one for very long. I believe I may have been the only liberal to do so. I know Paul Harvey liked my style and was worried more about that than any political point of view, but we never really confirmed that, because one day, the same boss who told me the story about balkage had a great idea. If they gave it enough lead time, maybe somebody could succeed Paul Harvey whenever he went, however he left the show. Maybe they could make $4 million a year, or, God willing, $4.5 million a year. But the key to the plan was the replacement had to become a familiar voice to Paul Harvey listeners. Well, how to do that? Paul did 5 days a week live and a sixth day on tape. The solution? A Sunday edition of his show called, you ready? Paul Harvey News and Comment with Keith Olbermann. Just like that. Seems reasonable. I mean, I wasn't even sure I wanted to succeed Paul Harvey, or that succeeding him would mean very much, as short-form terrestrial radio was vanishing before our eyes, but what the hell? All was going well until they decided it was time to mention it to Paul Harvey. As the ABC executive recounted it to me, there was a long pause on the phone, and then Paul Harvey said in that staccato voice, "This is what will now happen. You will fly to Chicago tomorrow with a new contract for me, Paul Harvey. This contract will be for the same terms and length as the current one, but it will include one paragraph spelling out that Keith Olbermann will never again appear on Paul Harvey News and Comment, and another paragraph spelling out that there will never be a seventh day of Paul Harvey News and Comment with or without Paul Harvey, or I resign. Good day." Paul knew in his heart his time had come. Balkage's revenge. Paul Harvey's Paul Harvey was at the door. So he had to kill him. You gotta control your origin stories. Which brings me back to Maddow and the time that the New York Times interviewed me, 2017, 2018, about getting her started on her own show. They were clear on that, and then a day or two later, the reporter called me back and was astonishingly sorry, but they had mentioned some of this to Maddow, and she had said she would not do the interview with them were I to be mentioned in the story, period. No Maddow, no real point to the story, so out went my quotes and all references to me. And by the way, the quotes were all positive, because I was still gullible back then. I was only 58 years old. The irony is that one of the people who prevented Rachel Maddow from getting her own show for a year was named Phil Griffin. He was the NBC executive in charge of MSNBC, first as vice president or vice executive something, I don't know, then as president from 2006 to 2021. He had formerly been the executive producer of my first show on MSNBC in 1997. Even more amazingly, he had been my first producer on my first day in my first job in TV at CNN in 1981 through 1982, through 1983, through 1984. We had a joint going away party when he left for NBC and I left for local news in Boston on March 30th, 1984. Well, March 30th, 1984, and the first 8 or 10 hours or so of March 31st, 1984. It's kind of hard for me to remember. Anyway, it was Griffin who eventually, after a year, got behind the idea and took the corporate rap for putting Maddow on MSNBC after the network had fired her as a contributor 2 years earlier. But it was also Phil Griffin, when I originally pitched him on the idea of a Rachel Maddow show at 9 p.m. following my own show, July, August 2007 this was, it was Griffin who said, quote, "Buddy, no way. Who's going to watch her do the news?" unquote. The president of Rachel Maddow's new production company, which I offered the chance to own the new version of Countdown on MSNBC, is Phil, buddy, who's going to watch her do the news, Griffin. He, like Rachel, like Paul Harvey, is very good at managing his origin story. Believe it or not, all that was the preface to what I wanted to say here, because what I got out of MSNBC for hiring Rachel Maddow out of my own pocket and beating them all over the head for a year trying to convince them to give her her own show was the privilege of announcing her hiring. I did so on my show, and a few hours earlier, I had done it on the liberal website Daily Kos, and I did it at exactly 5:05 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Tuesday, August 19th, 2008. 14 years ago Friday. It is still there on the Daily Kos website. You can find it. This is part of what I wrote. Rachel gets her own MSNBC show was the headline. And then, happy now? Quoting myself, the network will be formally announcing this tomorrow, but I am pleased to inform you in this fully authorized leak that as of Monday, September 8, our mutual friend Ms. Maddow will become host of her own show on MSNBC at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And yes, we will be making another unofficial announcement of this on tonight's edition of Countdown. My guest to analyze the Rachel Maddow news will be Rachel Maddow. Let me answer the key questions in advance. Then there's some giddy jokes wrapped around a couple of salient truths. Quoting again, 4, yes, I had something to do with it. 5, yes, you had something to do with it. 6, yes, this is why I never really responded to any of the 41,754 comments that all pretty much read, and get Rachel her own show, nitwit. 11, no, I have no idea who will start guesting, hosting a Countdown. Took me 5 years to find her. Damn it, why didn't I think of this? She can't be the guest host anymore. I knew I'd forgotten something. End quote. August 19th, 2008. 193 days later, Paul Harvey died. And now you know the rest of the story. I've done all the damage I can do here. This is where I ask you to rate and review the podcast. Fib, tell them it's outstanding, and you listen to it on a loop for hours, days even. The Countdown theme from Beethoven's Ninth, arranged, produced, and performed by Countdown musical directors Brian Ray and John Philip Chanel, and my thanks to them as always. All orchestration and keyboards by John Philip Chanel. Guitars, bass, and drums by Brian Ray, produced by TKO Brothers. The Countdown theme is not performed live. The other Beethoven selections have been arranged and performed by the group No Horns Allowed. Our sports music, the Ulberman ESPN 2 theme, was written by Mitch Warren Davis and is heard here courtesy of ESPN Incorporated. Musical comments now and then by Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was my friend Stevie Van Zandt. And that is Countdown for this, the 589th day since Donald Trump's first attempted coup against the democratically elected government of the United States. A new episode tomorrow. Until then, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.